Acts chapter 13, regarding some of the Jews, as he had preached there in Antioch. And he says that they had judged themselves unworthy of eternal life. And this morning I want to ask you, have you judged yourself worthy or unworthy of eternal life? And we're going to talk about what that means for just a little while. It does not mean that you've taken stock of your life and you say, you know, I'm a pretty good person. Yeah, I'm worthy of eternal life. I'm worthy of going to heaven. That's not what it means. We'll talk about that aspect of it a little bit. And we'll talk about what Paul is talking about in Acts chapter 13. Well, Paul was on his first missionary journey. And they were in Pisidian Antioch. Now you probably remember from your Bible study that there are two Antiochs that we read about in the New Testament. Syrian Antioch is where Paul made his home base for a good part of his life as he was going out on these missionary journeys. And he would also spend some time down in Jerusalem, and sometimes he would end up there either after the missionary journey, such as the first one, or end up at the end of it in Jerusalem and go back up to Antioch. Well, on the first missionary journey, he went to another Antioch, and that is Pisidian Antioch. And it is at this place where these events that we've read already about in our scripture reading this morning, it's where this sermon and these events occurred. On the Sabbath, Paul preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice with me, as we've already read, but I want us to pull out a few verses, beginning in verse 38. In preaching the gospel, he said, "Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through him," that's Jesus, "forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And through him, everyone who believes is freed from all things from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses." And then in verse 42, as Paul and Barnabas were going out, the people kept begging that these things might be spoken to them the next Sabbath. Now, when the meeting of the synagogue had broken up, many of the Jews and of the God-fearing proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, were urging them to continue in the grace of God. And so I want you to notice what has occurred here. The Apostle Paul and Barnabas, on their trip, they come to this place and they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and people were really excited about it. They wanted to know it. They wanted to do what it said. And they were just, it seems to me, really excited and really on fire for the things which they had preached about. Well, the next Sabbath comes about 1 week later. And I want to read again, beginning in verse 44. Acts chapter 13 and verse 44. "The next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of the Lord." And so if you can see this, the first Sabbath, he goes to the synagogue, preaches to the Jews, and they're receiving it. Seems like they're excited about it. A week later, now the whole town has turned out for this. "But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, 'It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life.'" Now the question is, how did the Jews judge themselves unworthy of eternal life? The first Sabbath, everything was great, and it seems like they were really excited about it. It seems like that lasted for a whole week. And now the next Sabbath comes up, and something happens. What happens? Verse 45, "They saw the crowds, They were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. Paul says in verse 46, as he spoke boldly, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, since you repudiate it." This is what they did. Things turned around in 1 week. It turned around, it seems to be, the first Sabbath, they were judging themselves worthy of eternal life, and turns around in 1 week, and they were judging themselves unworthy. The word unworthy means unfit. They were judging themselves unfit. And how is this evident? It is evident because they were contradicting, as they were jealous and they were blaspheming, and they were repudiating or rejecting or pushing away. The word repudiate here means to repel, thrust away, reject, refuse, reject as authority. And now I want us to get this point. They judged themselves unworthy of eternal life because they rejected the Word of God as the authority for their lives. Now here is the great irony. These individuals, the Jews, who literally thought they were the ones who were going to be saved because they were Jews, they judged themselves to be unworthy or unfit because they rejected the Word of God. Now let's talk about a couple of secular illustrations. A parent tells a child, "If you will keep your room clean all week, I will give you your allowance at the end of the week." And the week goes by and the child does not keep the room clean. So they have judged themselves unworthy of getting that allowance. You see, the parent said, "This is the deal. Keep your room clean, you get the allowance." Now it's up to the child. Are you worthy of getting that allowance or not? If you believe you are worthy, you will take care of your room and clean it throughout the week so you can get your allowance. If you judge yourself not worthy, you're not going to do the things I've told you to do. And that's very much the same with God. God says, "This is the deal. If you judge yourself to be worthy, you will receive what I've told you as authority, and you will do it having judged yourself worthy." There was a boy in the high school band when I was in high school. I was in the band also. And I remember clearly to this day one event that happened at my house outside in the driveway playing basketball. Now I should have counted up how long ago that was. It was over 30 years ago. And I can practically remember as if it was yesterday. And he told me this. He says, "The way that I figure it, when I'm in hell, I'm going to be so busy shaking hands with all of my friends that I'm not going to care." Ever since that day, that was not someone I cared to be around because I didn't want to be in hell with him. He judged himself to be unworthy of eternal life. That he would rather play around and goof off and have fun and spend eternity in hell with his friends rather than being in heaven with God. He judged himself to be unworthy of eternal life. And that's really the way it is with you and I and everyone in the world. It is our decision. Do we want to go to heaven? Do we want to enjoy eternal life with God or not? It is our decision. We are the judge in that way of looking at it. Have you judged yourself worthy of eternal life? Have you received the Word of God as the one and only authority for your life to obey it explicitly? That is the question. Let's look at a few applications this morning. Turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And I want to talk about testing ourselves for just a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Paul says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. And that's what I'm asking you to do this morning. I want you to test yourselves. I want you to put yourself to the test. You know, when judgment time comes, there should not be any surprises. Jesus says we're going to be judged by the words that He has spoken, the words that are here in this book. We go to this book, we examine our lives, we know what the outcome is going to be. No surprises. Shouldn't be any surprises. And so Paul says, test yourselves, examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? Now, do you pass the test? Is Jesus Christ in you? And we're not here this morning to talk about all the ways that we enter into Christ and we obey Him and all the things that are involved in this. But we examine ourselves and test ourselves. Am I a Christian? Am I faithful to God? Am I living according to this book? And Paul says, it seems to me, that it's not that difficult to determine. Are you a Christian and are you faithful? Striving and diligent to do His will. He says, or do you not recognize this about yourselves? If we have to sit in the pew and mull this over and think about it for some great long period of time, we know we have failed the test. It is evident to ourselves and to all who are around, to our brethren, to our neighbors, to our co-workers, to other people who go to school with us. They see it. They know it. I know it about myself. The answer should be immediate. If it's not, I'm telling myself there's some problems. Verse 6, Paul says, but I trust that you will realize that we ourselves do not fail the test. He says, I hope you realize, you look at us, you see that we pass the test. Let me ask you this. After you test yourself, then think about other people. Do they think you passed the test? You know, it's a really interesting thing about people who are living in the world who aren't Christians. They know basically how Christians should act, don't they? They know that Christians shouldn't be addicted to tobacco and alcohol. They shouldn't use those things, shouldn't be involved in those things, that they're not gambling and spending their livelihood with all of this. They know these basic things about living a godly life. If you were to walk up to someone who wasn't a Christian, would you pass the test? If you were to walk up to someone who was a Christian, would you pass the test? Just a few chapters back, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Paul says, for to this end also I wrote, so that I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. Now let me expand upon this testing thing just a moment. This is the test. Am I obedient in all things? And underscore the word all. If you sit there this morning and say, well, I'm obedient in 99%, that's not passing the test. If you say I'm obedient in 99.9%, that is not passing the test. It's true, we are all working and striving to become better Christians and take the next step forward and all those things, and we consider all of that, but yet we can take and examine our lives. Am I faithful in all things? That's the test. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Talk about testing. I've got to talk about this. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. The trials that we experience in life, they test us. When we go throughout life and we experience the hardships and we experience the difficulties and we experience all the things that come upon us that make being faithful to God difficult, that is when we really and truly are tested more than any other time. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing." The difficulties that you have in life, are you passing the test in that regard? That's when the test is harder than ever. We may look at ourselves and we can forget about those times. We can forget about the difficulties. We can forget about the difficult thing I've got going on at school and the difficulties that I have there and at work and the difficult situations that I have there. We can take and forget for a moment the few little wrong places I'm going or the wrong choices I'm making, and I'm going to some movies I ought not to go to with my friends, or I'm listening to some CDs or playing some video. The list goes on. You know what I'm saying. But we have to take all of those and lump them together. Now do you pass the test? Turn your Bibles with me over to James chapter 1 and verse 2. James chapter 1 and verse 2. "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith..." That's what it does. It tests our faith. The difficulties that we have, and whatever they are for your life, think about that for you. You are being tested. God tested Abraham when He commanded Abraham to offer up his son, his only son, through whom God had promised to give him a family, descendants numerous as the sand of the seashore. God tested Abraham to see whether or not he would go through with it or not. One way of looking at things, everything God would have us to do is a test. All of the trials and all of the difficulties we go through and we experience, every one of them are a test. Are we going to make mistakes and sin? Yes, we're going to make mistakes and sin. Well, what do we do when we do that? And are we wrapped up in something habitually, where it's just not a one-time mistake? It's repeated over and over and over and over and over and over, and we excuse it. We need to take that into consideration. Turn your Bibles with me over to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. I want to look at this test for just a second. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 here. Jesus writing to the seven churches of Asia. Now the message to the church in Smyrna. "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you will be tested." Would you pass that test? And that's really a two-pronged test there. Number one, would you pass the test if you were the one being thrown into prison? Now, wait a minute. It's easy to say, sure, I would pass that test. But when you get down to it and you begin to confront all of the possible fears that could pile up, you really have to think about it for a while. Would you pass that test? And how about if you weren't the one who were being thrown into prison, but you watched your brethren be thrown into prison and be tortured and be put to death in very painful public ways? Then what would you do? That would be a trial, wouldn't it? We need to test ourselves to determine, do we truly consider ourselves worthy of eternal life? That this is the book by which I'm going to live no matter what. That is the test. I want to take just a moment now and look at the differences with the Gentiles. Because the Gentiles did something just a little bit differently. Back over in Acts chapter 13 and beginning in verse 46. Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth." Now, I want you to notice verse 48. "When the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord." I want you to think about this. Rejoice and glorify. Let's talk about rejoice for just a moment. How excited were you to get up this morning and come here? I'm not going to tell on you, Beth, yawning and sleepy. I'm not going to tell on you, Alan Krim. I'm not going to tell on myself. And the alarm went off and Beth and I both go, "What was that noise?" You know. Were we excited to get out of bed and to say, "You know what? I get to go to church this morning." Bible class lesson, 8 chapters, Song of Solomon, hard book to understand. Were you excited to open up your Bibles, read 8 chapters of the Word of God, and come to a better understanding of it? Were you rejoicing as these Gentiles did? "Hey, somebody's going to teach us the Word of God." Or was it like, "Man, I got to do my Bible class lesson again. Whoever made that book, did they have to put 8 chapters all at one time? I mean, it's going to take me all of 15 or 20 minutes to read it." They have church so early. I've got to get up at 6 o'clock to get there by 9 o'clock in the morning. I wish I could sleep in. How about the rest of the week? I know, well, not all of us. Most of us work during the day. Some of us work at night. You get up in the morning and you got to do what you got to do and you got to get to work and you're tired and you're exhausted and you come home and you have chores and you get something to eat. Is there any excitement? "You know, I got time to read my Bible. I've got time to think about spiritual things." Is there rejoicing in our lives for the Word of God? Now test yourself. Rejoicing. Verse 48, "and glorifying the Word of the Lord." Glorify the Word of the Lord. Do we glorify the Word of the Lord? we excited about it? Do we talk about it? Do we think about it constantly? Do we bring it up in conversation? Or, Gary Steen in his class, are we just afraid to say anything and talk about anything, and we just close mouth? You know what? If we're excited about something, we glorify it. It doesn't matter if it's a mechanic. You know, if you've got car trouble, I'm going to tell you who my mechanic is, because I think I found a pretty good one. And I've tested my mechanic, and I know he's a good one, and I know what he's done for me. And I'm going to tell you about that, because you need to know that there's a good mechanic and where it is. Are we that excited about the Word of God? To glorify the Word of God. Who doesn't need the Word of God? Who doesn't need to be saved? Who doesn't need to know a better way to live? Can we live in silence and glorify the Word of God? Now test yourself again. Turn your Bibles with me over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Here the Apostle John, writing here about Jesus, and he's really focusing in this gospel about Jesus and who he was and how important he is to you and I, and that we believe in his name that we have eternal life. And all the miracles that were done, they point to this very thing. Now in verse 12 he says this, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." And many misuse this passage to teach a Calvinistic doctrine of salvation, that one can pray and receive Jesus into their heart and they're saved. But that's not what it says. It doesn't say pray a prayer, receiving Jesus in your heart. It said to receive him. The word receive means to receive as the authority of your life. What is the difference between the Jews? The Jews were jealous, therefore they were blaspheming, and therefore they were contradicting, and therefore they took the Word of God and they threw it as far away as they could. But the Gentiles said, "Give me this Word. Give it to me." They received it. They didn't push it away. They received Jesus Christ as this authority for their life. Paul says, as many that believed in Acts chapter 13. As we see in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, Jesus became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. That's what the Gentiles did, that the Jews did not do. Questions for today. Do you rejoice at the fact that we can read, study, and learn the Word of God? Do you rejoice as much as going out for some recreational activity? Young men, do you rejoice as much over the Word of God as some cute girl that's just agreed to go on a date with you? Do you glorify the Word of God with your words, your attitudes, and your actions? Are you so excited to learn God's Word and to obey it and be saved that you express it in every facet of your life? Turn your Bibles with me over to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. I want to give two illustrations here. This is during the last week in which Jesus traveled into Jerusalem prior to his crucifixion. Two occasions here. Luke chapter 19 and verse 40. Here Jesus had been coming in with the triumphant entry, and people were shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Pharisees didn't like that, and they began to rebuke the disciples of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said this, "I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will not cry out." Are you one of these who cannot be silenced? Turn your Bibles with me over to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, another occasion during the last week in which Jesus went into Jerusalem. Chapter 21, beginning in verse 15. Jesus had cleansed the temple. Verse 15, when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done, and the children who were shouting in the temple, "Hosanna!" Can you be silenced? "Hosanna to the Son of David." Then the Pharisees became indignant. And he said to them, "Do you hear that what these children are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes, have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have prepared praise for yourself.'" And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany and spent the night there. Turn your Bibles back over to Acts chapter 13. I want you to notice the result, and the result will be the same for you and I today. If we are like those Gentiles who rejoice and glorify the Word of God, Acts chapter 13 and verse 49. "And the Word of God was being spread throughout the whole region." Those who rejoice at the teaching and preaching of the Word, those who glorify the Word of God, they are by nature evangelistic. Why? Because they have to tell the old, old story. And brethren, in my estimation, I think we've lost some of that zeal. And we've allowed some to shame us into silence. And we do not glorify the Word of God as we should. Therefore, we are not as evangelistic as we should be. Verse 52, "And the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." When we receive the Word of God as the authority for our life to live that way and that way only, no matter what, the result is going to be joy. Joyful and happy life. And as we test ourselves, yes, we can all do better. Yes, we can all improve. Yes, we can all be stronger Christians. As we test ourselves, and if we take the next step forward to be closer to God, our lives are going to be better. They're going to be happier as we live closer to the way God wants us to live. Are you worthy of eternal life? There is one person in this audience who can answer that question, and that person is you. Have you judged yourself worthy of eternal life? If you answer yes, then you are confessing that you received the Word of God, rejoicing, glorifying that Word as the authority of your life, and you are committed to do whatever it says to do. But if you don't have that commitment in your life, if you've not taken the steps to obey the Word of God, rejoicing and glorifying, I'm deliberating whether or not I should say this. I think I will, just as kindly as I can. Then you've judged yourself worthy of eternal damnation. Just like the guy I knew in high school. If you've done that this morning, we hope that you will change your judgment. Decide to live another way. Decide to be an obedient Christian, striving every day. If that be your desire, we can help you. Won't you come to the front now as we stand and sing?